Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Brother Chris said he didn't ask anybody to do a special. I thought it was all special, didn't y'all? I tell you what, good song selection this morning, good output, good singing. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful to God that we got His Word, aren't y'all? You know, we've got the printed Word of God. I was talking to God the other day. He said, yeah, the good book. I'm going to tell you, this ain't a good book. This is the Word of God. You know, and I tried to explain that to him. And I've always called it a good book. That's okay if you want to call it a good book. But it's the Word of God. And we've got it for instruction and illustration and all things through life. I believe you got a problem, God's got the answer. It's here. We just need to dig a little deeper and look a little farther into it that we get, instructions from God. Want to go with to you just a little bit this morning. Had all week about building on my mind, you know, about building. And I know we got several house builders and several carpenters in the with us, and a lot of people's been associated that for a while or have part in it. And I got thinking about what we build for God. Have you ever thought about that? What we build for God. Now, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about this building. Y'all hear that, don't you? If I hit that microphone, it'll wake everybody up. Y'all go to sleep in a week. All right. But we want to talk a little bit this morning about building and what we're building, about the materials we're using, and the time we're putting in on it. So let's look to the Word of God this morning for instruction and move ahead with this. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, then we're going to skip down a little bit farther. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, I'll let you turn there. And let's understand that God has a plan for us in life, that we continue to grow and increase in knowledge and understanding, because knowledge is strength and knowledge is power and knowledge is joy and knowledge is so many things in life that we need to continue in our growth for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, it said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so we have the instruction from God about, you know, the way that seemed right to man is not right to God. And so He starts telling us, He said, you know, wide is the gate and broad is the way. It's easy. You know, everybody going this direction and thinking, okay, my neighbors do it. All the world does it. All my friends do it. It's all right for me. But we have the Word of God printed that we can read that gives us understanding and knowledge about what God would have us to do. And He said very plainly, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so I want to talk to the few that's going to find the way to eternal life. You know, I was reading also about the second coming, and it told us to pray and watch, you know, that we be looking for it. Now, down in verse 21, it said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So there's a deception going on with a lot of people in a lot of places that's saying, you know, okay, you can do it your way, and as long as you do this and do that. But God's telling us that He has a plan and a way for us to understand and a work for us to do as sons and daughters of God. Now, when we talk about building, when we talk about foundation, when we talk about instruction, it all has to come from the Word of God. There's a lot of words going around, and you can hear a lot of things this day and time, but if it's contrary to the Word of God, just disregard it. In verse 24, it said, "Therefore, whosoever will hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Now, I like this word, wise man. He didn't say a rich man, or he didn't say this or that. He said a wise man, and talking about wise, and he's going to liken them unto a wise man, the ones that heareth the saying and doeth them. So we want to talk about doing a little bit. You know, it's one thing to hear the Word of God. It's one thing to, and another thing to practice the Word of God, what He asks us to do. And so He talks about this house built upon a rock. In verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And I got thinking about, God says, you know, the Word of God says it rains on the just and the unjust, just alike. You know, that we're all going to have a time of rain. We're all going to have the floods of life to come. And that's when we need to be sure that our foundation is solid. And this foundation has to go back to the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or it's not going to stand. In verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So I want to talk about the standing of the house and the falling of the house. You know, I got thinking about, you know, two houses side by side. You know, just here they are side by side, and both of them start building. And all of a sudden, you know, this man that builds on the sand, he goes out, he lays his foundation, he puts up the blocks, just laying them on the ground, he starts it up, and he's over there probably standing the walls up or putting the roof on, looks over here to the other house, and in Luke chapter 6 and verse 48, it said the man dug deep down to the stone and laid his foundation. So here's one house, it's going up, they're putting the rafters on, looks over here, and here's the man still down in the ground digging. I mean, sweat pouring off of him, swinging a pick or an axe or whatever in the shovel that he's preparing and building a foundation. It said he dig deep. And he's over here probably making a little fun of him. Say, look, we're about to put the roof on and he's still digging in the ground. But I want you to understand which one's going to fall. The one that's built on the sand, the one that's built without a foundation. So I want us to spend a little time and prepare ourselves to have that foundation, that what we build going to stand till the Lord comes back. I'm thankful to God that we've got old folks. We've got people that's already passed from this church that started this foundation for us to build on. It was on the Word of God, nothing less than that, but God's holy Word, the foundation. We're not in a hurry to get it built. But we are in a hurry to get the foundation right. We need to dig deep. We need to lay the blocks right. And so it'll stand till the Lord comes back. He's coming back. And we want it to stand till he comes back. Now, here's the man over here. He's putting his roof on. He looks over here, and they're still digging a foundation. He's still down in the dirt digging. Praise God. Guess whose is going to stand? Let's talk about material just for a minute. Once you get that foundation laid and get it up out of the ground, you're ready for material, right? What you use to build it with. Heard an illustration about this sometime, some years ago. It talked about a contractor that had been in business some 40-something or 50-something years, you know, and he had built a lot of houses, done a lot of construction jobs all over the country and all, you know, in the neighborhoods and everything. And he had a superintendent that had worked for him the whole time. Well, the contractor decided, I'm going to retire. You know, he was getting older, and so he retires. And before he left out, he said, I'm going to be gone for a while. I'm going to retire. And before I leave out, though, I want to talk to my superintendent. He called the superintendent in. He said, I want you to build the finest, nicest, biggest house that you can build. I'm going to be gone for a while, so there won't be a big rush. I want you to take your time. I want you to build me a great, big, nice home so when I come back, I'll have a place. So the contractor went away, and the superintendent started to build the place. And in his mind, he got thinking. He said, you know, it's time for me to make a little money on this. He said, you know, I've got an opportunity that I could really hit a lick on this job. And so he bought cheap material. He didn't spend time on the foundation. And he bought cheap material. He bought the cheapest lumber he could buy. He bought the cheapest wiring he could buy. And you know, there's great. Ron, are they different grades in material? Amen. Ron's back there doing like that. They're different grades in material. And this man, you know, he bought the cheapest lumber he could buy. He bought the cheapest wiring he could buy. He bought the cheapest windows. He bought the cheapest doors. He bought the cheapest roofing. He did everything he did was cheap. He didn't take time to put it on a good foundation, but he made a lot of money off of it. You know, and he's thinking, I've done real well. Well, all of a sudden, you know, it looked pretty good just to look at it from the outside. All of a sudden, the contractor came back And the superintendent said, I've got your house built. He walked up and looked at it. He said, looks like kind of what I'd like it to be. And he handed him the keys, and he put them right back in the superintendent's hand. He said, it's yours. You can have it. Folks, be careful about the material you use to build your house. And I'm talking about this fleshly house. You be careful about the material you put in it, because you're going to have to live there. Yeah, he said, it's yours. Thank you for 40 years' service. And I'm going to tell you, you get what you build. So when you start building, first be sure that you're on the foundation of solid rock, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then when you start selecting materials, be sure that it's the holy word of God, nothing less. You want something that'll stand till the Lord comes back? He's coming. I'm going to tell you. Now, thoughts about this rock, thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it said, and he is the head. Now notice this. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So we get thinking about the body of Christ. We think about the Son of God, and his body is this church today. And I'm talking about the individual members sitting here, not the building. And so when we start talking about the body of Christ, when we start talking about the church, I want to tell you something. We need to have a different opinion about our attendance, about how we conduct ourselves in church, about the leadership roles that we play in this church, that it move forward for the cause of Christ continually. I thought about Moses. You know, God placed him in a great role of leadership. You know, he's going to lead children of Israel out of Egypt, lead them to the promised land. And God placed him in a role of a great big leadership role. And Moses was having a little bit of problem with this. Y'all be turning, if you would, to Exodus chapter 33. And verse 18, I'm going to start there. But Moses was having a little bit of problem with this. The people were rebelling. The people didn't like the walk. The people didn't like the food. The people didn't like the water. Praise God. You know, we've heard that before. When you get in a leadership role, it seems like you get to hear all the complaints and gripes. But I'm encouraging you to step up into a leadership role, because God calls you to do that. And so Moses having a problem. He didn't like the food, didn't like the weather, didn't like the walk, didn't like the enemy, didn't like anything that went on, and they were rebelling, and Moses having a little bit of problem. He had become discouraged. Now, I want you to understand, when Moses brought this problem to God, in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I'm telling you, Moses needed a little bit of help. He was needing something from God. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Because he had come to a point of discouragement. He was out of heart, probably out of strength, and out of patience too, if the truth is known. But he needed something from God, so he asked God to show him his glory, that he might be encouraged. Now, notice this. When we get to the point in church service that we're discouraged, we're out of heart, where do we need to go? First place, you go to God. And then I want to show you where God's going to place you to encourage you. In verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. This is God speaking to Moses. And he said, in verse 21, and he said, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now let's stop right there. Moses needing help. Moses needing encouragement. Moses needing strength. What does God do? He said, there's a place by me. Guess who's by God? The Lord Jesus Christ himself at the right hand of the Father forevermore. And I get thinking about God and saying, I'm going to put you in Jesus. There's a rock beside me, and I'm going to stand you on the rock. Now, when you need encouragement, and you need help, and you need strength, get on the rock, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. He goes a little bit farther. And it said, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Now, where's he put Moses? In the cleft of the rock. What do we know as the rock? The rock of ages, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the cornerstone for all things. And then we come down to the point. Jesus said, I'm going to put you in the church. What? Huh? Didn't I just read? And he is the head of all, and he is the head of the body, the church. And so we start talking about the church of this day and time. This is the body of Christ sitting right here. God told him, said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, which we know is Jesus, which we know is the body of the church. And God said, I'm going to put you in the church. He said, I'm going to stand you on the rock. I'm going to encourage you. These people that get discouraged and quit church, they went exactly the wrong way. They need to be more faithful to the church. They need to get in the church. They need to be a part, a leadership of the church. You want to be encouraged? Get in the leadership role. God will encourage you. He knew the job that Moses had before him, and he's encouraging. It said, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. God said, I'm going to give you a request. I'm going to stand you on the rock. I'm going to put you in a cleft of the rock. Folks, we're talking about church. Oh, I don't go anymore. I got discouraged. Well, God bless y'all's soul and everybody else that quit because it went the wrong way. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's coming back, and he said, watch. And if you ain't watching, you may not go. And who's going to warn you about watching for the Lord Jesus to come back? I didn't hear it one time over the store this week. There wasn't nobody over there told me the Lord's coming back. I better be watching. I didn't hear it. Did you hear it at work? Did you hear it down at the bank? Anybody tell you the Lord's coming back? You better be looking. You better be watching. You better be prepared. Understand, you ain't looking, you may not be going. And so where are you going to hear about watching for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You're going to hear it in church. You're going to keep it prepared. Let me tell you, the Lord's coming back. Be ready. You got trouble? Stand on the rock. You got a problem? It said God put Moses in the cleft of the rock. He put him in Jesus. He put him in the church. That's where we need to be. I think about Moses a lot of times and the help that God gave him in his leadership role. Let's look over to St. John chapter 15, verse 1. Let's talk about who we are. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm having an identity crisis. And God help us. Some of them even say, some men say, I think I'm a woman. And some women say, I think I'm a man. God help us, you know. Well, I think it's just a running joke, don't y'all? Huh? God didn't make a mistake when he made you. If you're a woman, you're supposed to be. If you're a man, you're supposed to be. Praise God. And that's just the way it is. You know, but let's talk about who we are. Who are you? Who am I? Who are we as the body of church, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's body? And so I want us to understand this. In St. John chapter 15, verse 1, it said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So we're talking Jesus and his Father, God, that takes care of it. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, we're looking at the situation that who we are is we're the branches of the vine, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God is the husbandman that's taking care of us. So we need to have an understanding. This is who we are as sons and daughters of God. And it said, now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't be able to stand up here and deliver this message unless God had cleaned me up. You wouldn't want some old nasty sinner standing up here. I'm still a sinner, but I got forgiveness before I came this morning, so you are right today. It said, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. It's asking you to stay in Christ Jesus, which is the body of the church. And so we start looking at this. We start understanding who we are. Verse 5, it said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I get really excited about a lot of the ministries. You know, I hear a lot about this. A lot of the ministries, so-called ministries that's going on, first of all, they're not in God's Word, most of them. And second of all, they're not in the church. And they're talking about the great work, the great ministry they're going to do for God. Let me tell you something. According to this, if you're not in Christ Jesus, which is the church, you can do no work. So those are deceivers, aren't they? If you're going to support a group that's going to work, saying they're doing the ministry and the work of God, they better be tied to a church, or don't you be suckered in on it. Amen. We got to be careful about these things this day and time. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, ain't going. You know, he says, I never knew you. Everybody that said, I prophesied in thy name, I've cast out devils in thy name. Everybody that does that don't mean they're going to heaven. Don't mean that they're going to be prepared when the Lord comes back and takes us out of this rotten, nasty place. And you have an understanding that according to this, if they're not tied through a church, I've got nothing for them. These independent groups that's coming around and trying to solicit money from us, the churches, the true body of Christ. You know, and I have that happen all the time. Well, we'd like you to donate this. We'd like you to donate that. If they're not tied through the body of Christ, which is the church, I got nothing for them. Close my pocketbook. And I pray you guys are the same way. Because it's very plain. He said, you know, it said, in him the same bringeth forth more fruit, and without me you can do nothing. In verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. And this, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And so I've thought about this a lot, that we need to remain in Christ Jesus, which is the body of the church. I talk to more and more people all the time. I don't need a church. I listen on TV. Well, might beat nothing. I don't need a church. We have a study at home. Well, might beat nothing. I think it's a deception that Satan has sent to this world to convince people, I don't need the church. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to do any work for God without the church. It's going to be a sad day when we all stand before the Lord and you give an account why you didn't do work for God, why you had no fruit, why you had no crown to cast at the feet of Jesus. You know, I'm concerned about that. So we need to understand, when God called us to believe and be saved, I believe he also called us into the body of Christ, that we become strong, that we become fruitful, that we see gain in church. Amen. First of all, be sure you're on the rock. Then let God put you in the cleft of the rock, which is Jesus, which is the church. Let him put you in it. Just put you in it so he can pass by and show you his glory. Amen. I'm going to close right there. Let's have a verse for song. Anybody that needs to pray, anything you need in your life, God can handle it. I don't have to give altar calls. God gives them. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God's working here today, that you make the decision. If you believe you've heard the Word of God, if you believe what it said, and you're not compliant with us, this will be your opportunity. And so we sing a verse of song. If you need to come pray, you come pray. If you need to be saved, God will save you here today. You need to repent, you can repent. God will hear that. I think whatever your need might be, he'll do it. Doors of the church are open. Anybody need to join the church? You want to be in this cleft of the rock? You want to be in this body of Christ that you can do the work and the ministry God gave you to do? Praise the Lord. It'd be time to do it. Everybody stand to your feet. Spirit of God working in the church, filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Glory.